Such an honor, such a privilege, such a joy to be back here among friends. Amen. Brother Kincaid's been such a special friend to me personally and to my family, to our church for many, many years. And there are many friends here that I've known for some time too, all over the place. I wish you knew how much of a port you all have as a church to our church. In way of prayer, in support, and then again by sending people our way. One of our more recent ones is precisely Pablo. And we expect great things in the Lord from him. Faithful, out visiting, winning souls, and we're just thrilled that you all have a very vital part in our ministry. And I want to thank you. I said that I am within friends because you'll have to bear with me. I have a deep-rooted Spanish tongue. There's nothing I can do about it. I try. God knows I try. But it just doesn't want to cooperate. So you bear with me tonight, please. I'll read most of the things I'll say. Maybe I'll just use most of my time just reading. it's great. It's so great. Great to know that we're in the same cause. And we have a job to do. It's a big one. We have such a short time to do it in. How we need God's help and guidance. I sure would like to read, as I said, a few words here in tribute to the missionaries, in being that this is precisely a missionary conference. What is a missionary? Maybe I took it from here. I don't know, probably. But anyway, it's good to read it. Somewhere between what is a missionary? Somewhere between saintliness and foolishness. We find a curious creature called a missionary. Missionaries come in assorted sizes, to be sure, weights, and colors, but all are sent by the one Lord who commanded his people to evangelize. Amen. Missionaries are found everywhere, going to, lifting up, launching out, bringing from, staying with, bringing around, bearing with, and standing for. Christians love them. Governments tolerate them. Parents pity them. Pagans ignore them, and Christ protects them. Praise the Lord. A missionary is truth with a broken jeep axle in its hand, beauty with a sick child in its arm, wisdom with a Bible in its pocket, and hope with Christ in its heart. A missionary has the patience of a fisherman, the audacity of a tightrope walker, the carefulness of a bookkeeper, the vision of a dreamer, the strength of a builder, the intelligence of a teacher, the wit of a humorist, the irresponsibility of a child, and when he attempts something, he is all prayer. He better be. He likes letters from home. He likes children. He likes preaching, mission recruits, returning from furloughs, faith promises, rallies, tracts, printing presses, radio stations, translators, mission boxes, airplanes, villages, Bible studies, cities, correspondent courses, and bookstores. He's not much for high-pressure promotion, red tape, devaluation of the dollar, lukewarm faith, hypocrisy, and discrimination. Nobody else, nonetheless, is so quick to care and so slow to give up. Nobody else get so much fun out of crocodiles, boiled rice, elephants, pet cobras, earthquakes, visas, monsoons, droughts, and conversation. Finally, a missionary is a truly unusual creature. You can send him to a faraway country, but you had better not forget him. You can get him out of your hair, but you can't get him out of your heart. He is your servant, your right hand, your dependent, a Bible preaching, God fearing, God serving, self-sharing bundle of love. When you come to church with that smug feeling that you are a pretty super Christian, he can shatter it with the simple words, "Why don't you come over and help us?" So much for super Christians. Let's open our Bibles to Hebrews chapter 12. And the first two verses, I'd like, with God's help, to tag on to the last words from a brother that was preaching when I came in. And he says, we must finish the course. And we'd like to speak precisely on finishing the course. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily besets us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him, again the word endureth, such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your mind, because you have not yet resisted unto blood. Let's have a word of prayer. Dear Lord, we want to thank you for being in thy house, among thy people, and having one mind and feeling one same thing in our heart. We want to praise you for thy goodness, thy mercy. And Lord, we want to thank you for a meeting like this and for this church and its goals and its vision. And Lord, for the testimony of its people and for the soul winning evangelistic thrust for which this church is known. And I want to thank you for it. And thank you, Lord, for the part they have had in my life, in our ministry through the years. Lord, I pray for strength and health for our pastor here, Brother Kincaid. Thank you for his dear family and those that have faithfully stood by him through the years. Thank you for the missionary families, those presence, and that great, great family abroad. Lord, extend thy hand of mercy and blessing to them even now. We pray for Sister Fran again, that you might just touch her body, make her well. And Lord, now, please help me as I try to convey the feelings that you put in our hearts, a challenge that we might take it up. And Lord, help us to finish the race with gladness. So we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I take it from a phrase I've heard some time back, but rephrase it this way. To finish or not to finish, that is the question. There are only two alternatives in life. Either we win or lose. We make it or don't make it. The Bible expressly says that the way of the just is upward, to depart from that way abajo, down. I would like, for just a few moments, to give a challenge today concerning finishing the race. But not only just finishing the race, which has merits in itself, but the thing is to finish the race strong. We need to finish strong. Unfortunately, we kind of get to the point where we say, well, we've been at it a long time. It's time maybe to rest on our laurels, or maybe just take it easier, put it on cruise control, and just coast to the finish. And that is not what we are supposed to do. Any lackness on our part signifies or implies that many more souls going lost to eternity. there's no time to lose. And certainly, the Lord encouraged us from the very beginning in His Word to the very end that we must press on in this race that has been set before us. So may the Lord challenge our hearts today that we might look into this matter of making sure with God's help that we finish the race, but more important yet, seeing the times we're living in and the soon approaching of His coming, that we finish strong. To be sure, seeing it from another point of view, many of us, to be truthful, are weary, old, and sick. Not to mention, many of us, as our brother here mentioned briefly, many times discouraged and frustrated. Some have said that they have heard preachers and they have criticized them when they have heard them say, every Monday, I want to retire. And we do get weary, to say the truth. We do get tired. The load is heavy. And many a times, it gets heavier. But that does not give us permission to quit. Amen. We need to carry on. Again, for the benefit of time, I'll keep on reading. When things go wrong, and as they sometimes will, when the road you're trudging seems all uphill, when funds are low and the debts are high, and you want to smile, but you have to sigh, when care is pressing you down a bit, rest if you must, but don't quit. Life is queer when it's with its twists and turns, as every one of us sometimes learn, and many a failure turns about when we might have won had we stuck it out. Don't give up. Though the pace seems slow, you may succeed with another blow. Once the goal is nearer, often rather the goal is nearer than it seems to many a faltering man, often the struggler has given up when he might have captured the victor's cup. And he learned too late when the night went down how close he was to the golden crown. So don't quit. Rest if you must, but don't quit. So stick to the fight when it's the hardest. Success is failure turned inside out. The silver lining of the clouds of doubt. And you can never tell how close you are. It may be near when it seems afar. It's when things seem worse that you mustn't quit. For we know the Father above looks down. He sees our struggles and holds a crown. He knows the way, though it's rough and drear. He will give us strength, so we need not fear. He offers to you the refreshing cup of the water of life, then in faith. Look up and struggle on till the crown is won, which He will give when our work is done. For the Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? In Isaiah chapter 40, we have a Lord's promise. No, it doesn't matter how tough the going gets and how heavy the load feels and how many doors all of a sudden shut close and how lonesome and how alone we feel at times. Sometimes when we feel that we've come to the end of the rope and we need strength to hold on, let's be reminded the promise of Isaiah 40:29, He giveth power to the faint. And to them that have no might, He increases the strength. We're reminded that youth, even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young man shall utterly fail. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength, and they shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Yes, He has promised to be with us as long as we are committed to walk with Him. Unfortunately, we are our greatest enemy. Somebody said, better is the enemy of best. Sometimes we think we're doing good, and if only we could do better. And when we get there, we think we can coast along. That's dangerous. Better is the enemy of best. We shall never quit, nor give up, nor go back. We should strive in the Lord for excellence in all things. He is worthy of our very best. Not just good, not even better, but the very best. Because He has made us with those qualities that we can cultivate, that we can use to His glory. Oh, when we think we have gotten there. Let's not forget that the Bible speaks of a second mile. Let's go for the second mile. And sometimes when we are out of breath, just stick around. There's such a thing as a second wind. Amen. And as Hosea said, let the weak say, I am strong. And I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. Because greater is He that is within me than He that is without. So greater things we can do, if only we can do it in the Lord's strength. We must press on. There is a finishing line. And if we are to reach it, we must focus our eyes on the finish line. And when our strength gives out, remember that He, not us, but He is our strength. There's no reverse, or should not be no reverse in a Christian life. The Bible says that God takes no pleasure in him that draweth back. And Paul says, and we are not of them who draweth back. God forbid. We remember Paul, battle scars all over him. His eyesight dim by now. His life in jeopardy because of the enemies of the cross. Yet, I'm not using a torn out Bible, so you can give me one. It's just, I don't use an English Bible. And I've got this on the way out. And it has some torn pages. So I hope the scriptures I need to read are in here. So, let's just hope for the best. Paul, that 5-star general with many battle scars and the prospect of his captivity and death. Nonetheless, he said, but none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Yes, there were those that were saying, Paul, don't go to Jerusalem. At least not now. I mean, there's dangers all over. We need you. You must take care of yourself. He must have said, you shut up. I got a job to do. And all of these perils and dangers that surround me, they move me not. Because I have one goal in my heart, and it is to finish the course. And to finish it with joy. And since the strength of the Lord is our joy, then, in other words, he says, I want to finish the course in strength, with joy. I want to finish strong. I want to finish with all my might that course that he set before me. Even here, we can just give our thoughts a little leeway, and we can think of many that started out good in the faith, but they have turned back. They have not finished the course. Oh, if they only knew what the Bible says, that in his appearing, many will be ashamed. There is a course set before us. And we should have no other thing in our mind or a greater desire but to finish that course. This is a missionary conference. And besides promoting it, we bring out the needs and even the perils in the life of the missionaries. The church must be made aware of the enemy attacks on that which is closest to the heart of God and its mission. It is the throne of the heart of God. It is the ministry, and in particular, how it is so harshly assaulted by the devil when it comes to mission work. One of the saddest facts we have to deal with is the vast number of missionaries that turn back and abandon their calling. So besides promoting missions, we need to be aware of the assault of Satan against the ministry of world evangelization, and how we need to realize that awesome responsibility of supporting and upholding the missionaries in prayer and supplication. Paul said to the people in Rome, "Brethren, help us by praying for us." Someone said, "It is my observation that just 1 out of 10 who start out full time in the ministry remain in track 5 years later. They are shut down morally by liberal theology, or simply, unfortunately, detracted by woman or money. But be mindful, be it in the ministry or simply in the Christian life, it is not how we start, it's how we finish what really matters. We ourselves know personally those that were riding high in the Lord in times past, but now have all but disappeared from the scene. Be they church member, be them husband or wives, be them young people. It's so great to see young people. And one of my favorite songs is the one that young people sang a moment ago. "Have you done your best for Jesus?" But how many young people are just waiting to grow enough wings to fly away. So be husband or wife or church member or young people or preacher or evangelist or missionary. It is not when or how we started, it's if we are going to finish the course. Bible reminds us that the battle is not for the swift and for the strong necessarily, but for them that keep their eyes fixed on Jesus, the author and, underline it, finisher of our faith. He who endureth. And I believe if ever we are to finish the course, is that little secret word of endurance. It's just foolish and silly how we know that in church people get ill feelings toward each other. It might just be because they inadvertently didn't shake their hands and they were just in a different mood, and it was just like as if they were pierced through their heart. And so that started a feeling of estrangement, and in due time, they'll fly away too. It's so sad that the Lord has given us an example that we might follow, but so many Christians forget that the Lord expects us to be faithful to the very end. Another made a survey or a study of around 250 preachers, and this was done recently. And out of the 250 full-time men of the ministry that failed morally, he focused on them and made a study. And that's roughly 10 men of the ministry per month, almost 3 a week. No doubt all of them started strong and in the right course, but through careless or satanic assaults, in one way or another, they were derailed. It is not starting the race, but finishing the race that counts. Let me insert this for the layman. You are in the ministry. Count yourself, not in a way, but you are in the ministry. If you got a wife and you got children, you are in full-time ministry for God. Church starts at home. And how many homes and how many marriages have been derailed because, again, many have fallen victims and have quit the race. Just as sure as any minister, the layman is responsible for his part of the ministry. Churches are just as strong as the family that compose the congregation. Now the question is, what makes you and me think that we will be one of the 10? Or what makes us think that we will be not one of the 9? Again, it is said that it is a rare man who finishes strong. Yea, an exceptional man who finishes strong. And no doubt he that finishes strong is because he is a man with an open mind and open heart to God and the Bible, and is teachable and is willing to learn and profit from his mistakes. Surely, in the course of the race, how many of us have not faltered and fell? Yet it's never too late to get back on our feet. It's never too late to take advantage of the moment and get back in the race. Because this is not the swift, not the strong, but to him whom God has mercy with. So defeat, let him say that we've been defeated. Someone wrote this poem about a young man in a race that stumbled and fell, stayed so behind, thought it was no use. He surely had lost the race. Defeat, there he lay, silently, a tear dropped from his eye. There's no sense running anymore. Evident, 3 strikes and you're out. Quite tried, he said. The will to rise had disappeared. All hope had fled away. So far behind, so error prone, closer all the way. I've lost, he said. So what's the use? I'll live with my disgrace. But then he thought about his dead, who soon he'd have to face. Get up! An echo sounded low. Get up and take your place. You were not meant for failure here. So get up and win the race. With borrowed will, get up, it said. You haven't lost at all. For winning is not more than this. To rise is time you fall. So up he rose to win once more. And with a new commit, he resolved that win or lose, at least he wouldn't quit. So far behind the others now, the most he'd ever been, still he gave it all he had and ran as though to win. 3 times he'd fallen stumbling. 3 times he rose again. Too far behind to hope to win, he still ran to the end. They cheered the winning runner as he crossed first place, head high and proud and happy, not falling, no disgrace. But when the fallen youngster crossed the line last place, the crowd gave him the greater cheer for finishing the race. And even though he came in last with head bowed low, unproud, you would have thought he won the race to listen to the crowd. And to his dead, he sadly said, I didn't do so well. But the father said to me, you won. You rose each time you fell. And now when things seem dark and hard and difficult to face, the memory of that little boy should help us in the race. For all of life is like that race, with ups and downs and all. And all you have to do to win is rise each time you fall. Quit, give up, you're beaten, maybe they'll shout it in your face. But another voice within says, get up and win that race. We read in Hebrews 12:1, there is a cloud of witness cheering us on. It's been a long way now. It'll be worth it all. So, it's not who starts, but who finishes that matters. In Numbers chapter 13, and the first 2 verses, tells us of how God Moses, how God told Moses to select 12 men, choice men, leaders among their tribes, the very best. And they were commissioned to go into Canaan and survey the land. 12. But what do we have? Only 2. Came back, finished strong. 10 said, it's not possible. No way. Don't count with us. We'll not go in under no circumstances. But the other 2 said, yes, we can. Yes, we can. If the Lord has given us that land, it's a matter of just going in and taking it. We can. So we have here, out of 12, 10 started strong because they were leaders of the tribes, but they did not finish the course. 2 finished the course, and they finished strong. That's why I have 5 children, and 2 of them are called Joshua, and another one's Caleb. You don't hear nobody calling their children Japhet or Palti or Ishal or Gadi or Emuel, etc., etc., the names of the others. Who wants to name them Judah? But here and there, you'll hear about a Joshua here and a Caleb there, because they were men that finished strong. How strong? They outlived all the others. And when they were in the land, here comes old Caleb, 85 years old, and said, I want all of that land. Moses agreed that when we're in, I could have it. And Joshua say, hey man, have pity on yourself. You're 85. Said, don't know 85. I'm 60. I might be 85 outside. I'm 16 inside. Give me that mountain. Amen. And he got it. But it's not a matter of starting. It's a matter of finishing. What would have been the destiny of the children of Israel without a Joshua and a Caleb? It's endurance that determines whether a man will finish strong. Let's not forget that the missionary call on our lives, or the ministry, or the Christian life, is a 100-yard dash. It's a marathon, if you please. And no matter how long, no matter how far, if we are determined by the grace of God in our heart that we will finish the course, oh help us God, we will. Because as the man thinketh, so is he. If you think you are broken, somebody said, you are. If you think you dare not, you don't. If you'd like to win but think you can't, it's almost a sense you won't. If you think you lose, you lost. For out of the world, we find success begins with a fellow's will, with determination in his heart. If you think you are outclassed, you are. You got to think high and rise. You got to be sure of yourself before you can ever win the prize. Life's battles don't always go to the strong or the faster man, but sooner or later, the man who wins is the man who thinks he can. So, it's not how we start, it's how we finish. There are those that have set their goals high. They're counting on the strength of the Lord. Yet there are so many of us, as long as we finish so and so, more or less, anyway, anyhow. God doesn't like nor play that kind of a game. We must stay on course. We must stay our eyes fixed on the author and finisher of our faith. We must stay in the scripture. We are to finish strong. We must stay in the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. We must stay on course, on track. Oh, if we would learn to stay close also to men of God and stay away from those things that sap our spirituality or detract our purpose. Again, it's not 100-yard dash. It's a marathon. Don't get in too much of a hurry. Remember the Titanic. Once they were going to prove that it was unsinkable, not even God could sink it. And they were going to make record time. Well, it's been buried since 1912. It didn't finish the course. It didn't even get nowhere. Let's have a vision for the finish line. I said the Bible starts with this premise and ends with that premise. The Bible says that the heavens and the earth were finished, and God finished the creation in 7 days. He finished what He started. We take a look at the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, I have come to do the work that my Father has sent me to do, and to finish it, because this is His will. Missionary service is not a rosy road. There is a price to pay, but it'll be worth it all. Even in our lives, God has promised to finish to perfection that which He has started in all of us in the Lord. Christ's goal was to finish. And after having done all, with the last strength in His body, He looked upward and said, Father, it is finished. Let's press on. Let's ask God to give us the strength, the grace, that measure of determination, and that quality of endurance, that no matter what, we carry on. I started serving God in 1952. They gave me $10, put me on the Greyhound bus all the way from San Antonio to Harlingen. And then they asked me for the change. They didn't say, you're going to get this, they're going to give you that. So you just go help in a vacation Bible school. And I was wet behind my ears. I had just surrendered my life to the Lord a couple of months before. He said, go. So we go. I bought an orange juice in Corpus Christi. And they said, it's a dollar. 1952 scared me to death. How far is then this $10 going to go? Am I going to make it over there? Then my first pastorist was 1954 in Fair, Texas. They just told me, there's a need. You go. Didn't say anything about what they're going to pay you, how they're going to support you. You just go do the work. Nowadays, we go deputizing. I wonder if the support stops, how many will weather it out to the finish. I'm not saying that going and doing deputation is wrong. Not at all. I'm 100% for it. Thank God for this church, mission-minded, supporting just bunches of missionaries. Thank God we've had one of the greatest missionary conference just a few months ago in February. Sorry, Brother Kincaid wasn't there. He's my first in plate, and the congregation like it. And I'm sorry that he was sick then. And I'm all for deputation. But I wonder, what does it take to detract us? Sickness? Affliction, tribulation, none of these things move me, said Paul, so long as I can finish my course with gladness. God help us.